things you want to do, no? Things you absolutely have to do before you die.
Yes, she replied, confusion woven into her tone.
But it doesn't seem much like you want to do any of them.
His eyes met hers, intrigue tugging his eyebrows together. Her stomach knotted. She should probably have anticipated that Jake would question her lukewarm reactions to the adventures they'd been having. She hadn't exactly been hiding it. But she wasn't about to abandon Lily's list now, not least because she'd already suffered through 20% of the items on it. She briefly considered confessing to the whole thing about how she wasn't Lily Bennett at all and how she'd found the list quite by chance and jumped at the opportunity to become someone more exciting than her real self. But that seemed crazy, even to her. Maybe a little too crazy to admit. So she straightened in her chair and looked him dead in the eye, completely ignoring the small tug in her throat as she did. No bullshit, right? He nodded slowly.
Right.
Okay, well. She paused to sip her drink, trying to organise her thoughts. I was married for a long time, you know that. He nodded again and she steeled herself to tell the story. He left me not quite 2 years ago. I came home after work and he was in the kitchen with a suitcase. He said that the excitement had gone and that he didn't feel the same anymore, and then he left. Her voice dropped almost to a whisper. He just left. Jake said nothing, sympathy playing at the corners of his smile, his eyes barely getting in on the action. She took a ragged breath in. And I was blindsided, you know? I never saw it come in at all. We didn't fight or anything, not really. Everything was fine, and then one day it wasn't, and that was it. She pushed her tongue up against the roof of her mouth. He was gone. He leaned forwards on his good arm, chin propped on a loose fist, and studied her for a moment.
You still love him?
Of course, he was the love of my life. She tried to smile, but longing tugged down at her mouth and she blew what she could of it away with a deep breath. Anyway, I ran into him in the supermarket a few weeks ago and he was with his girlfriend. Her voice caught on the word. Of course, she's young and beautiful and Italian, of all things.
I mean, how dare she?
He said gently. Her smile in return was small, barely a movement. But the way he spoke about her, it made me realise something. He talked about how adventurous she was, how she runs ultramarathons and climbs mountains, and I think... Her fingers reached to smooth a rogue strand of hair that she could see out of the corner of her eye. I think maybe that's what he was missing with me. I mean... I hope that was all he was missing with me. She laughed quietly, humorlessly. We were together nearly 20 years. We have a daughter. That has to mean something. Jake nodded, uncharacteristically quiet through the whole exchange. And I thought that maybe if I could find that part of myself, she continued, her voice a little stronger now, if I could become adventurous like her, then maybe he would fall in love with me again. And as she said it out loud, it actually seemed to make more sense. Jake's light brown eyes were trained on her.
So you wrote the list?
It wasn't a question. She nodded. She couldn't bear to lie out loud. Since I apparently haven't done anything even the slightest bit adventurous in my entire life.
Until now,
Jake said, and the words made Lydia's heart swell a little. She smiled, genuine pride tightening her chest. Until now. Jake looked at her a moment more before he took a sip from his mug, and there was something different, an unfamiliar sorrow in his expression that she couldn't quite make sense of. He didn't talk much about his past, despite Lydia's very best efforts to pry. Was he thinking about it now? On another day, she might have thought twice about going straight in with such a direct question, but sitting there, soaked to the skin, her dignity ditched somewhere in the vicinity of the rock wall they'd scaled earlier, she didn't even hesitate. "Have you ever been married?" His eyes darted down to his hands, his grip on the mug tightening.
"No," he said after a beat. "I haven't."
There was more to it than that. She'd bet her life on it. "Never wanted to?" His eyes flew back up at that.
"Of course," he said,
his voice straightforward, but for the subtle edge of regret laced through it.
"I came close once, but..."
He looked away again, those brown eyes as dull as she thought she'd ever seen them.
"It didn't end well."
She noticed him wince as he said it, the action looking wrong on the upbeat man that she had come to know. "Like my adventures," she said gently, and at once the man she knew was back, his face pulling into that familiar lopsided grin that widened at the sight of a white-haired woman carrying two plates to their table. Though she couldn't help the light stab of disappointment at the abrupt end to Jake's story, Lydia had never been so pleased to see food in her entire life. She ate hungrily and almost in silence. In fact, she didn't even look up until she'd popped in the last mouthful of toasty when her eyes found Jake studying her with amusement, creasing his eyes. "What?" she asked around her mouthful of buttery bread and cheese, and his lips fell back to his twist of a grin as he shook his head.
"Nothing," he said. "Just don't think I've ever seen someone enjoy a toasty more."
She huffed a sound, muffled and indistinct.
"No one has ever enjoyed a toasty more."
And as he smiled again, Lydia felt the warmth of something like relief as she realised that he hadn't been at all put out by watching her inhale the whole meal like a savage. Aga would have had something to say on the matter for sure. Adam would too.
"You know," she said, wiping butter grease from her bottom lip with one of the pale blue serviettes that had been tucked neatly around their cutlery, "I needed it to get over the most serious conversation we've ever had."
He nodded sagely.
"Wasn't it? I feel like I have to make, like, 3 extra jokes to make up for it."
"Please don't."
"What do you call a man with a spade on his head?"
he continued, ignoring her plea completely. She didn't reply.
"Doug,"
he answered for her, without missing a beat, and his smile grew so wide that for a moment she was a little concerned his face might reach its capacity and collapse in on itself like a dying star. And he didn't stop smiling, not then and not an hour later when they were driving back through the winding roads of the Dales, the frantic whip of Lydia's windscreen wipers barely able to keep up with the slew of rain on the glass. She didn't notice it until they pulled up at a set of traffic lights and she turned to face him. She was going to comment, something about the drive or the weather or the burn of her toes against her clammy socks. But when she saw the look on his face, she immediately forgot what she'd been about to say.
"What?"
His smile widened, no less curious, but with that same twist that she was getting used to. He didn't speak for a moment or two, not until the lights changed to green and she thumped the car back into gear.
"Curly, eh?"
he said then, a tone in his voice that she couldn't put her finger on. She reached for her hair reflexively, trying to smooth the strands down into their usual straightened line, though it was a lost cause at that point and she knew it.
Yeah,
she said, the creeping warmth of embarrassment flooding her cheeks. She hated people to see her like this.
"It's wild."
But he didn't reply, and when they pulled to a stop at the next set of lights, he still had that same expression on his face. Her brows creased into a frown.
"What now?"
But he only shook his head, that twisted corner of his smile heading dangerously close to smirk territory.
"Nothing."
And as she pushed through the endless pelt of rain and the low hum of pain still lingering in her left foot, it was all she could do not to wipe that smile clean off his face. Chapter 12. It took until ladies' night on the following Thursday before Agger's left walking boot had fully dried out, similar to the amount of time it took for Lydia to stop waddling like an aging duck on her twisted ankle and blistered feet, and her mother would simply not let it drop.
"I'm worried that this Jake might be a bad influence on you, Lydka,"
Aga said, spooning a generous helping of Basha's chicken noodle soup into her bowl.
"The way he returned you at the weekend, I've never seen such a sight. Limping in, wet to the bone, with your hair like a bird's nest. Oh, Basha!"
Lydia's indignation nearly choked her on a mouthful of soup. "He didn't return me, I drove." She tucked a loose strand of hair behind her ear, fingers subconsciously checking the strands to make sure they were still straight. "And you're being very dramatic about the rest. I fell over in the rain. My hair had just curled a bit from being wet. It wasn't a big deal." It had felt like a big deal, sitting in that cafe with smeared makeup and hair rebelling with each passing minute, but she wouldn't have liked anyone to know that.
"I like your hair curly, Lydka,"
Basha said with a kindly smile.
"Your Babsha used to have hair just the same."
Lydia flashed a grateful smile back at her, but Aga's face was still set in a frown.
"I think we should meet him."
"No way," Lydia snorted, panic gripping at her spine. "I like him. You lot will run him off for sure."
"How about if Tosh and I meet him?"
Mila offered from the doorway, a freshly changed Clara on her hip.
"It'll be less overwhelming than meeting the whole family, and we can report back on his..."
She paused, searching for the word.
"Suitability."
Lydia looked over at her ally incredulously, but then she saw it, the slightest hitch in Mila's eyebrow, the subtle widening of her eyes. Mila was trying to cover for her. She nodded in return.
"Sounds good."
But Aga would not allow herself to be placated.
"He's not shy, is he? I've told you, Mishko, you should never trust a shy man."
Lydia laughed.
"What does that even mean?"
But then Mila caught her eye again, her eyebrow raised a little higher, and Lydia coughed away her amusement.
"Well, not shy, exactly, but this family can be overwhelming."
Aga's lips pressed into a thin line, soup dripping from the spoon halted 6 inches from her mouth.
"Fine. Well, I suppose that's better than just letting you carry on your wild adventures unheeded."
Lydia smiled, her gaze darting back to Mila a moment.
"Perfect."
They were silent after that, each tucking into their soup, along with a big sourdough loaf that Basha had baked that morning, Lydia's spread with so much butter that her mother had tuttered at her when she saw it. And when Lydia's phone beeped an alert, Aga tuttered again. She took a dim view of phones at the dinner table at the best of times, but during ladies' night, such an offence was tantamount to blasphemy. But Lydia soon forgot all about her mother's disapproval, because as she snuck a glance down to switch her phone onto silent, her heart jumped into her throat. Right there on the screen was a single notification, an alert that caused her stomach to knot tightly around the slab of thickly buttered bread that had begun to lurch and churn inside her. A single notification that said, "Adam Gray 80 started following you." She nearly laid an egg. She'd known that Ollie would be talking to her dad that day, she called him every week on a Thursday, and so the timing should not have struck her as all that strange, but it did. Strange and beautiful and so thrilling that she could barely keep the tremor from her hand the whole time she was eating. And Aga, of course, noticed, as she always did.
"Mishko, what on earth is the matter?"
She looked her daughter up and down sternly, her own spoon hitting the porcelain of her bowl with a clatter.
"You will end up wearing more of that soup than you eat if you don't get yourself under control."
Basha frowned too, but on her face the expression drew concerned lines into the skin around her mouth and eyes.
Lidka, are you okay? You're shaking a little.
I'm fine, Chocha, Lydia said, a genuine smile playing at her lips. Just got the wobbles, I don't know why.
Might be the change in the weather,
Basha replied with a knowing nod. Basha firmly believed that people could be affected deeply by seemingly the most trivial and unlikely of things. An unexpected warm front, seeing more than one black cat on a journey, one too many jam tarts.
Yeah, definitely, Lydia said with a small nod, and it took every last ounce of her will not to catch Mila's eye.
She blew a breath out, trying to steady herself. She'd been so hoping this would happen, so focused on trying to get Adam's attention, that now she had it, she didn't quite know how she felt. It almost didn't feel real. Could it be true that her plan was working? It certainly seemed that way. He was watching her at the very least. All she needed to do now was focus on her adventures and on having, or at least appearing to have, so much fun that he simply couldn't resist coming back to her. She smiled to herself, one finger tracing the edge of her phone as it sat in her pocket. She couldn't wait to tell Jake. The rest of the meal passed without incident, and Lydia gradually regained full control of her motor functions, deliberately avoiding her phone for the rest of the evening in case anything else happened to set her off again. So it wasn't until she was walking out to the car with Mila that she saw Jake's message. She swiped to open, and the message flashed up with a picture of Jake in what looked like a hospital cubicle, awkwardly giving two thumbs up to the camera. It took a moment or two for her to register that his bright pink cast was gone, just a few seconds before a text message pinged through to confirm it. Jake, righty's free. Jake, I hope you're ready for more adventures. Lydia was objectively not ready for more adventures. She was still recovering from the last one. Nonetheless, buoyed by the idea of Adam following her and about her plan finally beginning to work, she replied in the most Lily and least Lydia way that she could think of. Lydia, bring it on! Exclamation mark.
Chapter 13.
Growing up as she had in the inner suburbs of Leeds, Lydia had never quite felt at home in the countryside. There was too much she didn't understand, too many unspoken rules, plus, of course, the curious underlying threat of a field full of grazing cattle.
People get trampled by cows, you know, she said,
staring straight out at them, the nip of the morning air turning her words into mist.
I watched a programme about it once. They're officially the most dangerous large animal in Britain.
She heard Jake huff out a small laugh.
Well, that's quite reassuring, considering they're not the large animal we'll be dealing with today.
She didn't reply, just kept watching those blobs of black and white in the far distance, all heads and haunches, while she tried to settle her nerves at the idea of being near the kind of large animal that Jake was talking about.
Come on,
he said, his voice as upbeat as ever as he bumped his shoulder lightly against hers before turning and walking a few steps away from where she'd parked the car. She took a deep breath and held it for a few seconds before blowing it out all at once and following Jake down the small path he'd started on. They passed a barn stuffed to the rafters with hay and straw, and then the path opened out into a yard, ridges of concrete pressing into the soles of Lydia's boots as she coughed against the sudden smell of manure.
So this,
Jake started, gesturing with only his left hand out of habit,
is Poppy Fields Farm.
His mouth twisted up into that same familiar grin.
It's owned by an old friend of mine.
And as if on cue, they heard a muffled voice yell, Jake! From somewhere nearby before a scarlet-haired woman popped up over the top of a stable door. Jake chuckled, making a beeline for the woman who, at the same time, was scrambling out of the door, locking the top bolt behind her as one foot deftly kicked a latch closed at the bottom. They met in the middle and the woman reached for Jake before he was almost all the way there, enveloping him in a bear hug and rocking lightly from foot to foot as they both chuckled along together. Lydia watched from a distance, their delight at seeing each other making her flush with happiness too. It helped, at least, to temper the grip of underlying anxiety at the prospect of having to ride what, presumably, must be the second or third most dangerous large animal in Britain.
Lily!
Jake yelled then, his grin so wide that she half feared that it might split his lip right along the scar line.
Come and meet Joe!
At that, Lydia began to move, swallowing down the feeling that hearing the name Lily always gave her now. She plastered a smile on her face and awkwardly held out her hand for Joe to shake. But Joe had other ideas, taking the hand that Lydia offered and pulling her in for a hug of her own, swaying lightly as she had done with Jake. Lydia's plastered-on smile turned genuine right around the time that the grip of Joe's arms distorted Lydia's cheek against her sturdy, fleece-clad body.
"Nice to meet you,"
Lydia managed, although with her face pressed so hard against Joe's ample chest it sounded more like, "Nice to meet you." Joe laughed.
"Sorry about that. I do get a little over-enthusiastic with my greetings sometimes."
Her eyes moved back to Jake.
I just can't believe this one is back in the country, finally.
She smiled again, blowing a rogue strand of bright red hair out of her face.
Oh, it's been years. It actually has,
Jake replied before nodding in Joe's direction.
Love the hair.
Joe ran an absent-minded hand lightly over the strands.
Oh, thanks. Hides the grey.
Lydia briefly wondered how old Joe was. Older than her, she guessed, but on a face like Joe's, it was difficult to tell. She was stocky all the way to her cheeks, built for comfort, as Aga would say, and her face was mostly freckles and teeth like some kind of cartoon horsewoman. Lydia could have believed she was anywhere from 35 to 60.
Are you riding today?
Joe asked Jake, her forehead crinkling with concern.
How's the arm?
Jake shrugged.
It's getting there. Physio will probably kill me, but yes, as long as I don't try anything crazy. Whiskey then,
Joe replied, pointing to a striking chestnut horse dozing over a stable door at the other side of the yard.
She'll look after you, tax in the usual place.
Right then,
Joe said, turning her attention to Lydia.
Let's go meet your ride.
Lydia smiled, nerves pulling at the movement. Joe made it sound so exciting and effortless, like there was no problem at all making a half-ton beast bend to your will. She followed Joe through an open door and into a small, dim room full of riding hats and leather. Joe scooped up a saddle and bridle before turning back to Lydia, her eyes narrowing in concentration for a moment or two, before she reached for one of the hats almost without looking and plopped it onto Lydia's head. It fit perfectly. From the tack room, they went to the bottom of the yard and around a corner, and there, tethered to the fence, was a sturdy-looking horse, more mane and tail than anything else, with huge bushes of hair about his hooves, and the exact same markings she'd seen on the cows in the field earlier. She almost laughed out loud.
"This is Major,"
Joe said with a broad smile.
"He's a gem, steady as anything and absolutely bomb-proof."
She reached a confident hand to pat Major firmly on the neck.
"Can get a bit nippy on the ground, though, so just watch yourself."
Lydia eyed the horse and he eyed her right back, swivelling his huge hairy ears backwards as he let out a little snort, which made Lydia almost jump out of her skin. She stayed a safe distance away from him the whole time Joe was putting his bridle on, and she took another step away as Joe slid the saddle down onto his back and he lunged for her with his ears flat to his head. Joe ignored the whole charade, patted him again firmly on his neck and unclipped him from his rope. pulling the reins over his head and leading him back up the yard and over to a fenced-off arena, the pale sandy surface a sharp contrast to the tall weeds that surrounded it on three sides. Joe opened the gate and led Major in behind her, holding it open for Jake, who was now leading Whiskey in behind them. She closed and latched the gate and then led Major and Lydia further into the arena, stopping almost in the middle before turning back to Lydia with a big smile. She talked Lydia through preparing to ride, from checking the girth was fastened tight enough to adjusting stirrups and pulling them down the leathers. And then, finally, she said the words that struck dread into Lydia's heart.
"Now we just need to get you on."
Lydia forced a smile, but her heart was beating 10 to the dozen, pounding and thumping wildly in her chest while she tried to ignore it completely. Joe talked her through the process again, how she should hold the reins and the front of the saddle with her left hand, use her right to ease her left foot into the stirrup, and then pop up and swing her right leg over, settling down into the saddle carefully. Pop up. That sounded simple enough.
"Watch Jake,"
Joe said, motioning for Lydia to come around the front of Major just in time to see Jake do exactly that. Pop up easily, swing a leg over, and then settle carefully down, looking back over at Lydia as he did and smiling his reassurance at her. She nodded at Joe, a small amount of possibly misplaced confidence rushing through her, and went back to Major's side, gathering up the reins just as Jake had done and lifting her left leg up to the stirrup. Jake had managed it without any fuss at all, but Lydia's range of motion was perhaps more limited, to say the least. Her muscles screamed at her as she tried to lift her leg up a tiny bit higher, just enough to slide her toes into the stirrup's tread. It felt as if someone was sticking knives into a hamstring.
"I've got it," she said involuntarily as her toe finally slid in, and in her excitement she let the reins slip through her fingers, leaving Major enough slack to swing his head round again and nip at her backside, in full stretch, his contact with the skin underneath the leggings she'd worn making Lydia shriek out loud. Joe, to her credit, did not laugh, just took a confident step back towards Major, talking to him in a low voice while she took hold of the reins just under his chin. Lydia, meanwhile, was hopping about on her right foot, her left still jammed into the stirrup as she tried to regain her balance and ignore the sharp rush of pain from her left buttock. And then, as if from nowhere, a sudden rush of energy overtook her, and she sprang up, 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 and just not quite up enough to be able to swing her leg anywhere, returning to earth with a resounding thud. This time, Joe did laugh, but not unkindly, and she moved around to Lydia's side, holding the far side rein firmly as she did so that Major couldn't reach to bite either of them.
"It's tricky, isn't it?" Joe said with a sympathetic smile. "Here, take that foot out of your stirrup and let me give you a leg up."
That was easier said than done, of course. There was a good deal more hopping before Lydia freed her foot, but eventually she managed it, and she pulled in a few deep, calming breaths before guiding her shin onto Joe's linked hands. Again, she was hopping, one, two, and when they got to three, Joe somehow managed to hurl Lydia high enough to quickly swing her leg over and settle back into the saddle. She was on. She snuck a look over at Jake, calm as you like on Whiskey's back, reins loose enough to let the mare stretch her head out low as her rider creased up laughing. Lydia glared at him and gathered up her reins, listening carefully to Joe's instructions. "Sit tall, weight in your heels, maintain contact through your hands, squeeze with your legs." And they were off. Major was barely walking, but the movement felt strange and lurching, throwing Lydia to one side and then the other while she struggled to find her balance. Joe went through a few of the basics, showing her how to strengthen her contact on the reins when she wanted to slow down, and how to squeeze Major's sides with her legs when she wanted to speed up. They tried a few stops and starts, and while they felt awkward and incompetent, Major did, in fact, stop when Lydia asked him to stop,
and started walking again when she asked to.
You're doing great, Jo said with a smile. Relax into the movement. Keep your legs long.
Lydia smiled in return, although she didn't have the foggiest idea what keep your legs long meant. She did try to relax, though, and as she began to get used to the movement, her confidence grew, just a little. And the straighter she sat, the more her shoulders dropped away from her ears, and the further and further away Jo got, until all Lydia could see of her was the flash of bright red hair in the middle of the area, while she and Major walked long laps around the outside.
You're getting it!
Jo squealed with what seemed like genuine excitement.
I'm getting it,
Lydia repeated to herself quietly, and she couldn't help but smile.
Right, Jake,
Jo said, raising her voice now that she was further from them both.
You're up. You and Whiskey can lead Lily and Major and we'll see if we can get her trotting.
Lydia barely even had time to cringe at Jo calling her Lily before she began to panic about the trotting. Walking was fine. She was getting on okay with walking. And anyway, the list hadn't specified how fast she had to ride the horse. But she said nothing, of course. Just watched with the slightest creep of dread as Jake gathered up his reins and nudged Whiskey into movement. She responded immediately, walking proudly with a fair bit more energy than Lydia had managed to rouse in Major. And then he nudged her again and she broke into a trot, Jake rising and sitting effortlessly, like he rode every day, before he steered Whiskey in front of Major and shot a quick grin at Lydia as they turned onto the arena track and took the lead. Of course Jake would be good at this. He hadn't even mentioned that he could ride, as if it weren't important, as if everybody could. Lydia rolled her eyes. They walked for a while, the two horses and riders in tandem, around the arena, and then in a circle at one end, and then a diagonal line straight across, corner to corner. They walked for so long that Lydia started to notice her body relaxing into the movement, her spine swaying and giving with the lilt of Major's stride. She noticed herself sitting taller, prouder, confidence beginning to edge into the way she urged Major on with her heels. And when Jo instructed Jake to trot straight around once until he was at the back and Major was leading instead, Lydia wasn't even all that concerned about the inevitability of her having to try it too. She might have been a little bit excited. Even when it was her turn and she finally managed to coax Major into a ragged trot that propelled her out of the saddle with every strike of his foot on the ground, she struggled to feel much except proud. She might have been bouncing around like a sack of potatoes, if that sack were almost certainly bruising its seat bones with every thump, of course. But here she was, adventuring. She hoped Jo was taking some good shots. Lydia had entrusted her phone to her, casually mentioning that she'd like a photo or two to remember the experience by. She couldn't wait to share them with the world, not least now she knew that Adam was watching. That thought emboldened her even further, and when Jo asked if she'd like to have a go at a canter, she agreed enthusiastically, watching Jake as he and Whiskey demonstrated, making it look so easy that she couldn't even imagine that it would be a problem. And granted, her transition wasn't as seamless as Jake's had been, but she managed to take Major back into a trot, and then, just as Jo had told her, moved her outside leg back just at the curve of the first corner, and then the frantic jerk of the trot gave way to the roll of a canter. It felt fast at first, perhaps a little too fast, but she soon got used to the rhythm of the stride, the predictability of the beats. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. She was a little scared still, but mostly she was thrilled. She managed to conjure up all manner of visions of her future achievements in horsewomanship on her short trip around the arena. And before she knew it, they were on the last side, nearing Whiskey's rear, and Lydia gathered up her reins, slowing their pace back down to that big, bouncy trot. Which happened to be the exact moment that Major, suddenly distracted by a huge tuft of grass at the side of the arena, stopped dead, dropping his head to snatch a mouthful and propelling Lydia out of the saddle with such force that she slid straight down his neck.
She shrieked, of course, not at all sure what else she could reasonably have done in the circumstances, but that only shocked Major more than he already had been by the unexpected weight of an adult woman clinging about his ears. He tossed his head up, high in the air and then back down, more forcefully even than the first time. And with that, Lydia slid straight back down his neck and plopped onto the sandy surface of the arena with a loud, indelicate grunt.
Chapter 14. Jake was off his horse before Lydia had really registered what had just happened, and he walked Whiskey back around to where she was lying while Joe went to grab Major, who had spotted more grass poking through the fence a little further on and was making a beeline for it.
"Shit, are you okay?"
he asked, his tone careful at first, until she pushed herself up to a seating position, feeling the tug of annoyance at her mouth. Then he bloody laughed.
"I'm sorry, Lil."
His smile was genuine, kind even, as if he couldn't stop the chuckle from bursting out.
"I was so worried you'd hurt yourself. This is a laugh of relief."
She could do nothing but scowl at him. "I'll remember this." But that only made him laugh harder. Joe hurried over then, handing Major's reins to Jake, who didn't even look guilty about his amusement at that point, and she offered a hand to Lydia with a sympathetic smile.
"Let's give you a check over before you give that another go."
Lydia nearly swallowed her tongue. "Wait, what?" She patted herself down carefully, making sure that nothing but her ego was damaged, and when she felt no significant pain anywhere else, she grabbed Joe's hand and hoisted herself back to her feet.
"But I'm finished." She turned to Jake. "The list said ride a horse, and I did it.
"You did?" he conceded, nodding lightly. "But now you have to get back on the horse."
Lydia screwed her face up.
"I thought that was just an expression."
"Well, it is, kind of."
He shrugged, that damn smile never far from his lips.
"But it comes from this. When you fall off, you have to get back on the horse and show yourself you can do it, so that you're not too scared to try again next time."
If Lydia had thought about his words in that moment in any kind of detail, she would have realised that it was a pretty solid metaphor for her entire life. But she didn't. She was much too busy being annoyed by Jake and his endless optimism.
"He's right, you know,"
Joe said with a nod, pressing on a few key points on Lydia's body. She tapped lightly on the velvet-covered helmet Lydia had borrowed from the tack room.
"Did you hit your head?"
Lydia shook her head in response to Joe and then looked up, between the two of them.
"Very bold of you both to assume there'll be a next time."
But Jake only laughed.
"Never say never."
And despite her protestations, Lydia did get back on the horse. The mounting process was considerably smoother this time, as they went straight to a leg up and Jo positioned herself so as to put her own bottom squarely in the biting line of fire, though it didn't escape Lydia's notice that Major didn't even attempt it. She felt the creep of anxiety as she pushed Major into a walk, and particularly as she passed the offending tuft of grass. And Major did gravitate towards it, just as he had last time, but with Joe's calls of, "No, keep your leg on, don't let him get away with it again," and her own steely determination simply not to fall off the damn horse a second time, Lydia walked past the spot once, then twice, then three times, and after that, Major stopped trying. She tried another trot, following Jake and Whiskey this time, without further incident, and by the time Joe suggested trying another canter, Lydia agreed straight away. The rhythm felt more familiar this time. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And even though she felt a small grip of panic when she saw the grass and Major slowed his pace, just slightly, she was right there, urging him on, and he picked up again. And round they went. One full circuit and then two, until Lydia's heart was in her mouth and her legs were jelly, and she couldn't have stopped smiling if she'd tried. In fact, she was still smiling as they walked together back to the car, Lydia raking her sweaty helmet hair into a ponytail to preempt the ridiculous state it would dry into, while Jake reached into his jacket pocket and produced the red felt tip, which by now was simply becoming part of the process. "This feels very ceremonial," she said, taking the pen from his fingers and moving over to the fence she'd parked against, the one enclosing the sinister field of cows. She pulled out the list carefully and drew a bold line through 1, ride a horse, passing the pen back to Jake with a flourish. 3 down, she said in an echo of Jake's words on the mountain, and he grinned.
6 to go.
But then his smile faded just a little, and he looked out at the field of grazing cattle, pausing for a few moments before he spoke again.
Is he worth it?
Lydia's brows creased in confusion. Huh? He blew out a small breath, a laugh almost, but not quite his usual warm chuckle.
This is only our 3rd adventure, and so far you've endured intestines in the mouth, a near miss with a sheep, a twisted ankle, and a fall from a horse.
And a bite on the bum.
And a bite on the bum.
He nodded, his smile hitching up a little.
So, I'm asking, your ex, is he worth it?
Lydia nodded, not hesitating even for a second. Yes.
Okay, Jake replied after a beat. Then I'll help.
Help? Her brow furrowed in confusion. But you're already helping. His smile hitched up to the side.
I'm already helping you work through your list.
His voice lowered a notch, something close to conspiratorial in tone.
But the whole point of your list was to win your ex back, right?
She nodded. His eyes joined the curve of his mouth in the smile.
So I'm saying I'll help with that.
She frowned. How will you help? The question must have come across more severely than she'd intended, because he laughed and clutched at his chest theatrically.
Lily Bennett, you underestimate me,
he said with a dramatic edge.
I wouldn't describe myself as a relationship guru or anything like that, but I do know a thing or two about male jealousy.
You think I should try to make him jealous? He nodded, her lips twisted in uncertainty. You think that'll work?
I do,
he said, nodding again.
He needs to think you're moving on, or he'll never realise how much he's lost.
Lydia had never considered that, but she supposed anything was worth a try. It certainly couldn't hurt to add to her existing plan. So I should, what, tell him I'm seeing someone? He huffed out a laugh.
Lily, you got married before you were even out of your teens. How is it possible that you have absolutely no game?
Accidental pregnancy, she shrugged, and he laughed out loud.
Fair.
She swatted him. He shook his head, still laughing.
I was thinking more subtle than that, more psychological. He's following you on Instagram now, right?
She nodded.
Okay.
He pushed his hair out of his face.
So, just start there. Change your language. Say we instead of I have 2 shadows in a picture. Show a glimpse of a man's hand. Stuff like that.
He shrugged, something close to smug on his face.
I promise you it'll drive him crazy.
She studied him for a moment, this curious dynamo of a man. She remembered the darkness that had pulled at his expression when they talked in the cafe that time, the bad breakup he'd alluded to. Perhaps that had fueled this idea. She couldn't help but wonder who Jake had been jealous of. He was so easygoing that she wouldn't have even known he had it in him. But then their arrangement had been purely platonic from the start, and Lydia knew very well how quickly situations could change when feelings got involved. If he hadn't pointed to her phone in that moment, she'd probably have started to wonder more about what his story was. But as he reached across, tapping lightly on the darkened screen, she lost her train of thought completely.
"You want to start now?"
he asked, and motioned to the phone.
"Look at your photos from today."
She swiped to unlock and handed it to him, looking on as he scrolled through the images, from the selfie Lydia had taken when she first tried on the borrowed helmet, through to the set that Joe had taken of her actually riding. And then, as if knowing exactly what he was looking for, he scrolled quicker, until he stopped on an image and handed the phone back to Lydia.
"There,"
he said, a triumphant smile on his face.
"That one's perfect."
The photo on the screen was taken from horseback, Whiskey's mane and ears framing the left-hand side of the shot, while Jake's hand was clearly visible at the bottom, all with just enough of a blur to focus on the main image, which was of Lydia trotting up towards them, cheeks ruddy, clothes filthy from the fall, and a huge, beaming smile on her face. She brought it a little closer, squinting her eyes into focus against the brightness of the day. "I don't remember you taking this." His smile widened.
"It was right at the end. Joe gave me your phone to hold while you cantered so she'd have both hands free to deal with Major if he tried anything. I couldn't resist capturing that grin."
She hesitated for a moment. There was logic to Jake's plan, but the idea of posting a picture of herself looking so unkempt scratched at her chest in a way she didn't like.
"Trust me,"
Jake said in that steady tone he used when he was trying to get her to do something ridiculous, and, like every other time he'd used it, she could feel it working. "What are you, a social media expert?" she asked, fighting a smile. He shrugged.
"I had 20,000 followers on some platforms when I was playing."
"Seriously?"
"Yeah, seriously."
He smiled, motioning to his right arm.
"Deleted all my accounts, though. I don't go on social media at all now."
Lydia's brows furrowed in confusion before she remembered about his mysterious accident. "Oh, because of..." he smirked.
"My lion-taming mishap, yeah."
Lydia didn't reply, just fixed him with a look. She tapped into Instagram and created a new post, sneaking a filter onto the shot to at least hide some of her shame. And then she looked back up at Jake for guidance on the caption.
"New man in my life and he's hung like a horse?"
he offered, the smirk still on his face.
"No."
He burst out laughing.
"I'm kidding, obviously. Just put something simple. Perfect day out riding."
She nodded, tapping away at her phone.
"Hashtag bucket list, hashtag good company,"
he continued, and she looked back up at him with her eyebrows raised, which made him laugh again.
"That bit was serious."
At least it would make Ollie happy, she thought with a shrug, and she added the hashtags before sliding her phone back into her pocket, remembering something as she did. "There's another way you could help me, actually, while you're in a generous mood," she said, smiling more sweetly than was usual for her. Jake raised a single suspicious eyebrow.
"Go on."
She laughed lightly, taking a big breath and then blowing it all out at once.
"So, for some reason, my ridiculous family think that we're dating and they want to meet you."
He nodded slowly.
"Is that reason because you told them that we were?"
"No,"
she said quickly before realising she had no way out of this.
"Okay, fine, yes, I did do that, but only to get them off my back because they're always trying to marry me off like I'm some kind of dusty old spinster."
He smiled, one hand pushing his hair out of his face.
"You know, I know a thing or two about that too."
"Your sister?" she asked, thinking back to the first message he'd ever sent her. He nodded.
"As if I'm not a grown man who can make my own decisions."
Lydia had never related to him more.
"It's the worst, isn't it?"
"The worst."
His smile edged into a teasing smirk.
"So, you want me to meet your family?"
"God, no,"
she laughed out loud.
But I'm concerned that if you don't meet any of them, my mum will take matters into her own hands and just ambush us one day when we're out surfing or what have you. And you don't want that. Her shrug was almost sheepish. She's kind of a lot.
So you want me to meet some of your family members and pretend that we're an item?
No, I want you to meet my best friend and his wife who know that we're not an item at all. His brows tugged together, an expression she rarely saw on him.
Wait, I'm confused.
Right, she started, hands knotting together awkwardly. So, my family asked to meet you, but then Mila stepped in and suggested that she and Tosh meet you first and make sure you're suitable so that we don't have to subject you to the full experience right away. It's a cover, really, you see, because they know that we're just friends and that you're helping me with the list.
He smiled his easy half-smile that never failed to temper her anxiety a notch.
Sounds good to me.
Her eyes widened. Are you serious?
Well, yeah, he shrugged. You know that my social circle is pretty much just you and my family at the moment. It wouldn't be terrible to widen it a bit.
Lydia had not anticipated this going so easily. She chuckled.
So, when do you want to meet the fam? I thought they weren't your family.
Well, they aren't actually related to me at all, but at the same time, they're kind of my siblings. She gestured vaguely in the air. It's complicated. And with that, he grinned broadly.
All the best families are.
Lydia felt the vibration in her hand before she heard the familiar ringtone. It was one she recognised immediately, a tune she had set to one contact in particular so that she would always know immediately that it was them calling. Speaking of family, she said with a shy smile, feeling a swell of pride beginning to build behind her breastbone. How would you like to meet my daughter? Chapter 15. Lydia had just stepped out of the shower when she heard her phone ring, and she was so distracted by her awkward shuffle down the corridor in only a towel that she didn't even look at the name before she swiped to answer. Mila, she assumed, or possibly even Jake, though he more often sent a text. So when she heard the deep husk of that familiar voice, her heart damn near stopped in her chest.
Adam, she said involuntarily, all the air in her lungs escaping along with the name. She heard a small sound, the breath of a laugh, maybe.
How've you been?
Good, she said automatically. She didn't want to mention the intestines in the mouth, nor the near miss with a sheep, twisted ankle, fall from a horse, or bite on the bum. She channeled Lily as best she could. Actually, I've been quite busy lately.
Sorry, I've only got a couple of minutes,
Adam cut in, his tone pleasant and straightforward.
I just wondered if you were free for a chat later in the week.
Lydia barely had time to react.
Yeah?
Great,
he said, the faint sound of typing in the background.
I'm sending you my availability now.
Okay, no problem.
Bye, Lids.
And he was gone before she could reply. The cordial shortening of her name the only personal thing about the whole exchange. He could have been arranging a business meeting. She felt a thump of disappointment behind her breastbone, a feeling she wished she didn't recognise so well, followed by something else, something warmer and altogether less familiar. Was it hope? Could this be a coincidence that he wanted to speak to her mere hours after she'd posted the photo on Instagram that Jake had insisted would make him sit up and take notice? She'd been sceptical at first, but the timing lined up perfectly. And he'd called, when he could easily have sent a message instead. It had been good to hear his voice, however briefly. He had cut her off, that much was true, but that was just Adam. He was a busy man, and he was making time in his hectic schedule to see her. She plopped down on her bed in her towel, taking a few steadying breaths. She was hesitant to grip too tightly to any hope, considering how the last 2 years had gone, but she couldn't deny the small flame of possibility beginning to flicker in her belly. But then a realization hit her all at once, like a wave, dragging her deeper and deeper down until she could barely breathe. As quickly as it had appeared, her small flame of hope was gone, doused to nothing by the water. 2 years. The amount of time they had to be separated before they could start divorce proceedings, without either of them having to shoulder explicit blame. Adam had said from the beginning that this was his intention, that he didn't want either of them to be painted as the villain, and the date had been ingrained in Lydia's mind ever since. The date that was now 4 days away. Shit. She couldn't stop the tears then, and she didn't try to, sitting on her childhood bed in her mother's polygrip pink bath towel, with a lifetime of regrets building to a crescendo in her chest. The stakes suddenly seemed higher, her chances of getting her old life back slipping through her fingers like the last grains of sand. Her plan had to work. It had to.
"So Jake seems nice," Ollie said 2 days later, seemingly trying hard to keep something out of her voice.
Lydia eyed her daughter with suspicion, hoping the expression carried effectively over the video link. "Don't get any ideas, we're just friends."
"I'm just saying," Ollie shrugged her innocence. "You never told me he was a grade A hottie."
She mimicked Lydia's suspicious stare.
"Just seems like something you might have mentioned before now."
Lydia rolled her eyes. She had known that Jake was objectively good-looking, obviously, although she wasn't sure she'd grade him as an A, maybe a B. Okay, maybe a B+. In any case, none of that took away from the fact that he wasn't Adam. And speaking of Adam... "Oh, hey, did I mention that your dad called me?" Ollie frowned.
"He did.
Wants to meet up." Lydia continued, ignoring the look on her daughter's face. "Just to go through some legal stuff, maybe."
"So the divorce is still on?"
Ollie asked, and the sound of the word sent that old familiar dagger through Lydia's chest. "So far as I know," she managed to say, and she smiled at her daughter with as much conviction as she could muster, as her heart turned slowly to dust inside her chest.
"Just be careful, Mum," Ollie said gently, her hand going to the small gold pendant around her neck. "I know you're still hoping he'll change his mind."
She hesitated a moment.
"I just don't want you to get hurt."
Too late for that, Lydia thought to herself, but she didn't say it out loud. What she actually said was, "I'm okay, Ol, I promise." And as her daughter smiled back from 8,000 miles away, it was almost as if she had believed it. It was on the Thursday of that week that Lydia finally went to meet Adam for lunch. She'd taken the full day off work. She wasn't sure she'd be able to concentrate much on anything with the peculiar taste in her mouth, the half-longing, half-dread that had kept her up late the last couple of nights. She'd prepared meticulously for the meeting, more even than she usually would. It went right down to the details. A fresh manicure and pedicure from Mila's neighbour, a bikini wax, new underwear. Not that she imagined Adam would even know about most of it, of course. She just hated the idea of any part of her being less than perfect when she stood in front of him for the first time since that morning in the supermarket. The memory of how she'd looked that day still made her physically cringe, and she tried to block it out of her mind completely as she walked. It was a warm day. Perfect mid-June weather, with small wisps of cloud peppering the deep blue of the sky as a mild breeze tempered the heat of the day. Her hair, freshly washed and straightened, bobbed with her stride as the leather of her sandal soles beat a pattern on the pavement, effortlessly navigating the streets of the city that had been her home for her entire life. Her route took her up Briggett and round onto the hedgerow, weaving through groups of people and avoiding 20-somethings holding clipboards as best she could,
and then down past the cathedral and onto Millennium Square. There was a small cafe at the far side of the square that had been a favourite of theirs for as long as it had been open. On a warm day, the outside tables would fill so quickly that patrons were forced to spill out onto the low walls nearby, propping their drinks carefully by their feet as they tucked into the cafe's famous hot sandwiches. But Evelina, the owner, had always had quite the soft spot for Adam, and she had somehow always managed to produce a table for them, no matter how full the cafe might be. And today was no different. Adam was already sitting at one of the outside tables when she rounded the corner, grimacing as he swallowed from his mug. He was facing away from her, looking out over the square, and so she took the opportunity to drink him in, her heart skipping as it always had at the mere sight of him. The cut of his jawbone was no less sharp than it had been the last time she'd kissed it, nor was his hair less perfect than it had ever been, a couple of shades off black and gelled back away from his beautiful face. Lydia couldn't see his piercing blue eyes behind what would almost definitely be designer sunglasses, but she had spent so many hours of her life staring into them that she could easily have described them from memory. He noticed her as she got nearer, and as he turned to face her, those perfect lips quirked into a smile that very nearly stopped her heart dead in her chest. For a split second, she thought about Jake's smile, about how that same action would have tugged over to one side because of his scar, but then just as quickly the thought was gone, lost to much more primal thoughts about the man who was now standing to greet her.
"Thanks for coming," he said, the tones of his voice reaching deep down inside her somewhere.
She smiled, feeling a flush creep up her cheeks. "Course." And then she sat down in the chair he was gesturing to, straight across the small table from him.
"I took the liberty of ordering our usual,"
he said, pushing his sunglasses up onto his head.
"I hope you don't mind."
Lydia shook her head. She was fairly sure that under the spell of those clear blue eyes, she was